Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. And Mike, we have reached another giant landmark on our road to the 2025 NHL Draft. It's the release of NHL Central Scouting's midterm rankings. You've seen them. You've looked them over. What jumps out at you?
Always a fun time of year, Adam. Glad to join you. Got my cups of coffee handy. Two down, two more to go, and I'll be set
Double
for the
fisting.
Day. You know how it
Double
is.
Fisting.
That's it. That's it. But Dan Moore is going to be our guest. Obviously, the director of NHL Central Scouting. He'll join us. We'll discuss the midterm meetings, which is always a fun period for us. But yeah, you know, looking at it, quick thoughts, Adam. You know, Schaefer at the top, James Hagans number two. It could go either way, right? Either or with these two. And look, we all like Michael Misa from Saginaw. Just named captain for the Spirit last week. So this is a player, and I've said this, and we've spoken about it, right, Adam? To me, Misa's that John Tavares type of player. James Hagans, he has that ability, that speed, that quickness of a Jack Hughes-like type player. You know, Matthew Schaefer, a lot of scouts that I've spoken to have mentioned or have put his ability in that realm of a Cale Makar. So we're looking at three really special players. And Porter Martone is got to be in this mix too, right, Adam? Porter for Brampton. He also played for Canada at the World Junior Championship, played in three games there, but he had a pretty significant goal when he was able to get on the power play and stand net front there later in the tournament. But look, all four of those players are exceptional in what they do. I think, as we'll discuss with Dan, these four, or maybe the top two, top three, can be interchangeable depending on what NHL scouts, GMs are looking for. But I think, you know, knowing what we know about Schaefer and how dynamic a defenseman he is, I can't argue with Central putting him number one here.
Mike, we had the chance to see Matthew Schaefer live twice now, both at the CHL USA Prospects game in November, at the World Juniors for a game and a period in Ottawa, and he stood out every time he was on the ice. And you have to wonder, would Canada, you know, they go out in the quarterfinals, had they have a healthy Matthew Schaefer, would they have had a different outcome at World Juniors? He has a goal and assist in the opener against Finland, then he gets hurt in the first period against Latvia, and Canada really didn't have a response to a replacement player who could do the thing Schaefer could do, because he is such a unique player. He has such a fantastic skill set, the skating, the offensive head for the game, plus the defensive ability. He's not a guy who's going to get pushed around in his own zone, because he is 6'1". He is, you know, 180 pounds, and he's going to continue to get stronger. So seeing him at the top of the rankings, a bit of a surprise, because if you go back to September, it was all James Hagans versus Porter Martone. But Matthew Schaefer, the way he's played, he has certainly stepped up into that number one discussion. But let's bring in our guest, Dan Moore from NHL Central Scouting. Dan, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
Morning.
Good morning, Dan. This is always a special special time of the year for us. We get the midterm rankings update from you. I guess the first question on everyone's mind after looking at the rankings this morning, and we're recording on January 14th, can you kind of take us inside the midterm meetings and give us an idea what the discussion was like in selecting Matthew Schaefer as the number one, you know, possible number one pick in this draft, number one in the rankings, midterm point at this point? Obviously, James Hagans has had quite a year, Michael Misa as well in Saginaw. So very curious as to how the discussion went, how the debate went at the meeting.
Well, it's the same question that I've been getting from scouting directors who are curious to see where we had them sorted out, because they're going through the same exercise. And our meetings this past week were, I think, the best meetings in a number of years, just because it was very robust discussions and dialogue amongst the players. There is no consensus, number one. Schaefer, Hagans, and Misa all were number one on somebody's list or another. And so we had to sort through it all, and it's very hard to define how to separate a 1A, 1B, 1C type player because they all bring something of their own. But at the end of the day, who won the most votes and as being ahead of one or the other, or being number one outright, was Matthew Schaefer. And he's deserving of that. He started his draft year off strong with the performance at the Hlinka-Gretzky tournament, where he was arguably not only Canada's best player, but the best prospect in that tournament. And then, unfortunately, he gets what a lot of teenagers come down with, where he missed the start of the season with mono, and then he recovered, came back. It just took him a little bit of while to get going. So he's only had, I think, like 17 games to date. But you don't need to see a whole lot of them to know what you're going to get. The way he plays the game will translate well to the NHL level when he gets that opportunity. I do think as a defenseman, it does take a little extra time to get there. So I'm not by any means saying that he's NHL ready, but he has that game with his size, the speed and tempo to which he can play, and just the skills that he has to execute plays. So you see a lot of Matthew Schaefer in highlight reels, and that's the type of game that he has. But he's still got to get physically stronger, physically more mature, and mentally learning how to play the game at the next level, play both sides of the puck on a consistent basis. But he's going to be a strong value add to any team, and the fact that he's the best at his position. Some teams who have the ability to draft more so by position versus best available or in conjunction with best available, he's a very appealing prospect. And I think I've said this to you before, Mike, everybody has a different version of how to define best available. And that's the conversation that you really have to have when you talk about those three players at the top end.
So, Dan, one of the guys that I was really curious about when the list came out is Roger McQueen from Brandon and where he would end up, and that's number five. He hasn't played a game since October 11th because of an injury, but obviously Central knows him well from previous seasons. The book is, I'm sure, pretty thick on him. Do you have any idea when he could be back on the ice? And are there similarities between where McQueen is now and where Caden Lindstrom was last season?
Well, I know with Roger and his injury, this is it's more involved with his growth and just how the body grows, and sometimes you grow too fast too soon, and then when you combine it with physical activity and sports, it can cause some issues. So like this is more of him dealing with that. And right now, they don't think there's any surgery that's needed that would correct it. They think that just rest and let it follow along on a rehab program, just slow and steady, is the best path forward right now. And so the situation is similar to Caden Lindstrom and what he went through last year with the injuries. So as of mid-December, they still wanted him to kind of just cool it for 5 or 6 weeks more of just not stressing it out. So I know he can do some light activity there, but I think it's still going to be a few more weeks before he would get a green light. But if you wanted to do a comparison, if Roger was eligible for last year's draft class, just like this year, he'd be in the conversation for being near the top of the draft class. And based on the play that we had of the two of them, if they were in the same class, McQueen would probably have been ranked ahead of Lindstrom. And they both have a similar style of play, but the fact But McQueen just does it at a different level. He has a little bit more eliteness about him with his skills, and he can make things happen for himself, and he can make things happen for his teammate. There's no real holes to his game, and very similar to Caden, we like the fact that he can play with that edge, be successful in physical situations, be successful in skill situations. So if he was actively playing here, he could conceivably be number one or two in the list at this point.
Always curious about the NCAA college players that are eligible, draft eligible, Dan. And this year, NHL Central Scouting identified five NCAA skitters among the top 32 for the midterm. Obviously, we know a lot about two of them. James Hagen's recently completed World Juniors was spectacular. I just like the way he was not only, you know, offensively producing, but the where he was scoring these goals from. Logan Hensler, the defenseman from Wisconsin, I thought had a real respectable tournament. Got his name out there as well. Sasha Bohmidian of Boston University, another player. Cullen Potter of Arizona State. William Horkoff of Michigan. Bohmidian is the youngest player in college hockey. Dan, this I'm intrigued by this skater. What's it? What do you feel his ceiling is, and does he remind you of anyone past or present in the NHL?
Well, Bohmidian came on our radar screen last year as a first-year player with Youngstown at the USHL, and he had a very productive season there. And you know, your familiarity with the USHL, you know, it's a tough league to get production in, and it's a tough league to step in and play when you're coming from another league or another country, to which he did. He has that European pro style about him, where he just goes about his business and gets the job done. And he played for Sweden at the U18, where he had a dominant role on the team there. He's gone into BU as a freshman, and his ice time continues to improve in the types of situations that the coaches use him in. He was been getting like second power play time. He's used to kill penalties. He's on the ice in the last minute of periods, more important situations. And it's just that composure that he brings along with his skills and assets. And when we had our discussions at the meeting, we looked at his questionnaire, which we have all players fill out, and you know, he's thinking big, where you know, his self comparisons are guys like Miro Heiskanen and Jake Sanderson. And we do think he has a potential that he could actually get to that point, but right now we're just looking at the type of player that he is now, what he brings to the game, and how his career will advance. And our comparables were Cam Fowler and Jonas Brodin. So this is a prospect that we think is going to have a very productive NHL career, and that he's got a really big upside. They're developing him on the slow and steady pathway there. But I do feel that when he does sign, he will be able to go directly into the NHL.
So, Dan, I want to ask you about a different defenseman, Simon Wang. He is number 23 on your list. He's got NHL-ready size at 6'5" and 215. A little bit of an interesting route for him. He started the season with King in the Ontario Junior Hockey League. Now he's made the move to Oshawa in the Ontario League. As we record this on Tuesday, January 14th, five games, but no points. So, you know, whatever that's worth. But what has Central seen from him as the season's gone on? And how much has the move to Oshawa, did it have any effect where the group placed him in the midterm rankings?
Well, you're cheating here a little bit, Adam, because you're going by calling him Simon rather than his real name. And in my position, I have to know how to pronounce his real name. So it is Hayoshi, and I've got that down pat. So I'm happy that I can say his name properly. But the easy version is he goes by Simon. That's what he is in the program. And he jumped out at our group at the OJHL Showcase tournament this year, where they said, you've got to see this guy. He's 6'5". He's over 200 pounds. He can skate like the wind, and he's got a physical edge to his game. So I've been to King City twice to where he plays, and both times it was full of scouts, like 20 plus teams in attendance. So he's got on everybody's radar right from the get-go. We have him moved up to an A prospect. And with this transition period now, with the change in rules with NCAA status and the ability to play in the CHL, I think it's a good move for him at this point that he's going to be regular in the OHL, because he quickly outgrew the OJHL. So now at this next level, what we're looking to see from him is just his overall game with the puck, the decisions that he makes. I've been to two of the games in Oshawa, and you can see he's playing not to make mistakes. He wants to contribute, but he's got that in him. When he sees an opportunity and he recognizes the play, he can take off with the puck. He can advance the puck. So I'm going to be more curious to see how his game comes along from the offensive blue line in. And I am excited to talk about Wang. These types of players don't come along every day.
Yes,
And
yes.
so he's in a special category, and he's going to get a lot of consideration and observation in Oshawa for the rest of the year.
Is there a player who really pushed over the first half, Dan, to maybe earn a spot among the top 32 in the midterm? Curious about that.
Well, there's two players that really worked their way up there and deserve to be there, but there's one that's kind of not really come out of nowhere, but had the start to the season that wasn't really expected, and that's Cameron Reed, defenseman from Kitchener. He's just a tad under 6 feet, but he's come on strong to be a leader for his team. Kitchener's on a real good roll right now. He controls the play whenever he has the puck and a stick, and that's in every zone, not just in the offensive zone where he's putting up numbers, but even in the defensive zone. He's got a really quick escape out of his zone. He moves the puck well, and he manages risk reward decisions very well. And that's a tough thing for a D-man to do at some point. So Cameron Reed would be the guy I think that fits into that category.
Dan, I want to jump over to the international rankings a little bit here and look at the top. And Victor Eklund, the forward from Jorgarden, is at the top. I'm curious what separated him from the rest of the international group, and how much did him getting to play in World Juniors have anything to do with putting him at number one there?
Well, I just want to put a little context on the international list this year, where unfortunately there's been a departure of a number of some of the top international players, and just in recent weeks that have moved over to North America, and some that moved earlier, we've put on our North American list, but there's a couple that have moved over that we haven't moved over yet. So it's Victor Eklund would be at the top regardless, or near the top if we hadn't had these players moving over. And the fact that he got a lot of international experience and success with the 17s, U18s, and U20 in the past, and the fact that he has his pro experience, that does help him to be in that number one spot. And he does it to where he's a smaller forward, but he's got the ability to use that size to his size as an asset to his game. So he can be very quick and slippery, he's got a very cerebral game, but he has an up-tempo game. So he's hard to catch, he's hard to stay up with. It's hard not, if you try and go after him too hard, you're going to draw a penalty. He knows how to utilize his lack of height to an advantage there. But just I think it's just the tempo at which he plays the game and the experience that he's had. They're very comfortable to have him sitting as the best prospect on the international side.
So, Dan, I want to go back to something that you said about guys coming over from Europe to North America. Ivan Ryabkin is one of them. He's number three on the international list, but he recently made the move to Muskegon in the U.S. Hockey League. As we record this on January 14th, he's got 3 goals in his first 2 games. He's suspended right now. You know, he played up and down all 3 leagues in Russia, the KHL, the VHL, the MHL, their junior league. How important is it from your standpoint, from a scouting standpoint, to have him in one place in North America now?
Well, this is going to be of tremendous advantage to him in this draft year. The players are developed a little differently in Russia, and like he's played up and down in 3 different leagues, but he hasn't had a set spot on any one team. And so the game reports that we were getting from our scouts, some for live view, some were from video reports, was that his conditioning was starting to wane just because he wasn't playing. And they, you know, that, and it's hard for a player, you don't know what his attitude's like, you don't know what his confidence is like. So I think this move over here is going to rejuvenate him. I don't know what he did to get suspended, but the fact that he must have gotten involved in something, well, some teams will like that, just the fact that he gets involved. But he is a talent. And it's whereas Eklund's talent that shows through with his tempo, Ryabkin is the type of player where he's got that cerebral game as well. But he'll gain the line and he'll slow the play down and he'll set up plays. And he's got the finishing ability, he's got the puck skills to set up plays that he's going to contribute offensively. I think everyone needs a little bit of an adjustment to a league, but you know, Muskegon has got a track record of developing European players when they come over, giving them the chance. Matvei Gridin from last year, he's the top rookie scorer in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League this year. Was drafted, the NHL club's very happy with his progress. So Ryabkin's in a good spot to where on the final rankings he's going to be on the North American list. And you know, him and Radim Mrtaka that came over in this play in Everett, you know, or Seattle, sorry. These are 2A prospects that we're going to have to find in our schedule to see them play lost so that we can rank them in the correct spot when we put out our next rankings.
All good stuff there, Dan. It's a big season for Central Scouting, right? It's in its 50th year. It's been a long time. We've had a lot of fun following along, especially when the rankings are released at the midterm. There's always a new crop of players, right? New stories emerge, so it's fantastic. So thanks for joining NHL Draft Class this week for thoughts on the midterm ranks. You're always so informative. Best of luck over the second half of the season, and we will speak again when the final rankings are revealed in April.
All right, thank you.
Mike, that was great stuff from Dan. And I kind of like what he said at the top, how there really was no consensus that Matthew Schaefer was number one on the most ballots, but Misa got votes. Hagans got votes. Schaefer got votes. Like, it was pretty close. And you know, you got to go back a few years to find where there was no consensus. Look, last year, Celebrini, wire to wire, was the number one guy. The year before that, Bedard, wire to wire, the number one guy. Like, there hasn't been, I don't know if drama is the right word, but there hasn't been this sort of question mark at the top of the draft rankings for a few years now. So it makes it a little more fun, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. We haven't had a defenseman taken number one overall since 2021, Owen Power to Buffalo. And ironically, before that, it was the Sabres that also drafted the number one player in 2018, Rasmus Dahlin. So it seems as though there's always this drama, Adam, when a defenseman kind of emerges in the draft. And look, there are plenty of good forwards. We've seen good centermen. You know, you go back to the McDavid-Eichel draft. Obviously, everyone knew McDavid was going to be the guy, but everyone knew that Eichel was going to be a special player as well, eventually in the NHL, which he has become. But this is one of those drafts where I think these players will be interchangeable, particularly at the top. I'm from my own personal view. I don't know if you agree that Schaefer, Hagans, and Misa could be in that realm of 1, 2, 3. I think Schaefer and Hagans, that's going to be the interchangeable pieces here because we know how special a defenseman Schaefer is going to be at the next level. And Hagans just has that quality at him. And I talked about this earlier. You have to be impressed with how Hagans performed at World Juniors. And we spoke to Scott Harris, last week on Draft Clash. You can check that out. It was a great interview. Former director of amateur scouting operations. He was worked for the Blue Jackets, the Devils, the Colorado Avalanche, and he did stress how it was good to see Hagans become that offensive force for the U.S., but it was where he was scoring those goals in the middle of the ice, in the slot, doing the dirty work. And those are things that can make scouts and GMs think about, hey, we like this defenseman, but it's tough to find those rare centermen that are able to get the job done where you need to get the job done. So anything strike you at all with what Dan had mentioned, Adam?
Yeah, the Roger McQueen conundrum, I think, is the best way to put it. Where do you rank a guy who's that big, that skilled, 6'5" and 197 pounds, but he hasn't played a game in, now we're going on November, December, we're going on 3 months since he's last played a game. And you heard Dan talk about it might be another 5 or 6 weeks before he does play another game. Now, obviously, Central doesn't just wake up on the first day of the season and start scouting these guys. As he kind of talked about, they've had book on him going back to the under 17 level. So they know what kind of a player Roger McQueen can be if he's healthy. And, if you want to kind of side by side comparison with Caden Lindstrom last year in his draft year, playing in Medicine Hat, his season ended in December because of a back injury, an issue there that still isn't 100% right. Columbus took him at number 4. You wonder, what are they thinking right now? Because we're still, again, in mid-January, and Cade Lindstrom still hasn't seen the ice in over a year. Will that affect what teams think of Roger McQueen? Will they gamble that, as Dan said, in 5 or 6 weeks, he's gonna maybe be able to get back on the ice, that it's he's growing a little bit quicker than his body's able to handle, but at some point that's gonna regulate and kind of get to the level where he is able to play again. But you have to wonder, he's number 5 in Central's midterm rankings because they're only based on the player's ability, but teams are going to be asking questions. What can we expect from Roger McQueen? Skill-wise, it's obvious he's one of the most talented players in the draft. But you can't score a goal from the trainer's room. You got to be healthy enough to get on the ice, and teams are going to have questions until he's able to get on the ice and stay on the ice and perform on a consistent basis. Right now, they haven't seen it this season, and obviously last season got him to where he is in the rankings, but that was last season. This is now, and you sort of have to project forward. So what is Roger McQueen? What's he going to be? Can he get back on the ice maybe early March, maybe in time for the Western League playoffs? There's a lot of questions surrounding an incredibly skilled player, but you got to be healthy enough to play.
Yeah, I think the latest timetable I had was maybe 2 months, maybe a month to come back. So we'll see. It is an intriguing area there. One other thing, real quick, Adam, just want to mention: 4 Russian-born players were selected in the first round of last year's draft, and you had asked Dan about Ivan Ryabkin of Muskegon. So Ryabkin is number 3 on the international side. I would imagine come final ranks, because he's with Muskegon now, he'll be on the North American side of the list for the final ranks in April. Dmitry Asaev is number 9. He plays in Russia's junior division of 5'9", 148 pounds. He needs to build up a little bit. A left wing, he's a right shot. He might be the next Russian in line, JP Vuorinen, who is the NHL director of European scouting, likes him a lot. Very shifty, crafty little playmaker in Russia's junior division. So for now, I guess those two players are two to keep an eye on as far as the Russian contingent is concerned.
Well, it's going to be interesting because we are only at the midpoint of the season. There is so much hockey left before we get to the 2025 NHL draft. This is just one benchmark along the way. And we mentioned our friend Scott Harris, who was the former amateur scouting director of amateur scouting operations for Colorado, for New Jersey, for Columbus. He has a piece from Inside the Room, and you can find that on NHL.com. What the teams think of Central Scouting's midterm ranking. It was a very interesting piece to see how those rankings are seen and handled and approached by NHL teams, because we see them from the outside. And it's an internal list that a team would have is very different from what Central Scouting is able to produce. So I highly encourage you take a look at Scott's piece. It's debut of our it's his debut piece for us at NHL.com. The scouting meeting is what we're tentatively calling it for now, but it's definitely worth a look. And you can listen to Scott. He joined us on the last episode of NHL Draft Class. So great insight from a guy who was at the table in the meetings making these very important decisions that we on the outside only see the result of. He's part of putting all of that information together and crafting what a team is going to do at the draft. So it's very interesting insight that we really haven't had before on NHL Draft Class, Mike.
No, it's great. It's great to see. We're looking forward to more from Scott on the NHL draft class and editorially for NHL.com. So be on the lookout for that.
Absolutely. And stay tuned to us here at NHL draft class. Watch Mike at the All-American Prospects game. You might see him on TV if you tune into the NHL Network broadcast.
Yeah.
But for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.